Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, I'm Andrew Juven.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
And we hate movies.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Sometimes. That is better.
Zombies have entered the building. They're at the door. They're coming in.
Time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
These sick fucks, you've seen one too many movies.
Nah, Sid! Don't you blame the movies! Movies don't create psychos! Movies make psychos more creative!
What's the fucking
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program. Thank you for tuning in, as always. If you are joining us for the first time on this here program, you are joining us for the final week of our 2013 Halloween Spooktacular. We have spent the entire month of October talking about all sorts of horror movies, and what a way to end it by talking about a horrific children's film.
What a horror movie.
Well, it's still a horror movie. It's a children's...
A warm fart... period warm, of a ghost movie.
Warm fart period of a children's horror ghost movie. 1996's Casper, the live action telling of the old ass cartoon that everyone was clamoring for in the movie going world.
It's about goddamn time.
Someone was like, oh, fucking finally, Casper's coming out and it's live action.
Yeah, and we want it to be kind of a teen romance.
Now, when's that Family Circus movie happening?
Man, a fucking live-action Family Circus movie. You could not bore me to death faster.
What'd you do today? Rode a bicycle. End of scene.
Did you wear a helmet? No. Well, I guess that's for God to sort out. That comic strip's got a bunch of weird God shit in it. It was always very stiff.
There was like I never laughed once at it. But what this movie came? Am I mistaken in thinking that this movie was kind of sent into turnaround because the Flintstones did so well in '94?
Probably it was those. You know, we're just gonna bring anything to life that we can, and so why not the Casper comic? There was probably an old ass cartoon, right? I mean, there was a cartoon that spawned after this movie's
right.
success.
I think it probably was.
There was a cartoon. Well, because it was. Part, I think Universal had it as like one of their like before the movie cartoon things.
Oh, is this one of the classic Universal monsters?
Yes. Yep. Dracula, Frankenstein's monster, the Wolfman, Creature from the Black Lagoon, the Mummy, and Casper.
And the Invisible Man.
Oh, right.
Strangled Casper to death.
Everyone always forgets the Invisible Man. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't see you there.
Where are your late night cards to tap on the desk for that one? Yeah, right there. But yeah, I think you're right. Like, the Flintstones hit. It was a super success. And they're like, fuck it. Let's bring everything off the page, off the cartoon strip, onto the real screen.
They've done that with, you know, a couple of these movies. They made the Jetsons movie. And, you know, they made, obviously...
They made the Jetsons movie?
There was a Jetsons movie.
Live action?
Not no. a live action. There was a cartoon okay. movie.
Yeah, cartoon.
There was a feature-length... Jetsons movie. But why could you not get me a good CGI Huckleberry Hound? is the real question for me.
Well,
really,
was Huckleberry Hound interacting with human beings though?
I don't know.
Because then that's like you just have a whole CG world. And in the mid-90s, we were not ready for an entire CG world just yet.
Well, I'm just imagining, like, what? It's 1990. What? Like, Liam Neeson is, like, trying to, like, get a girlfriend. And he's just got Huckleberry Hound's his hound.
Yeah.
And they're just living in, like, just living in Massachusetts.
Okay, so it's Dark Man with Huckleberry Hound hanging around.
Stay here. I have to go patrol the rooftop.
Okay. I'll just stick around here. Or is that Droopy Dog? How did Huckleberry Hound talk?
Huckleberry Hound was more of like a fast talker. Like, I can't do it. But.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I think I was doing a little Droopy Dog. Point is, that would have been pretty cool. But the Casper movie. This is the first movie where the main character is fully CGI the entire time. Or I should say, most of the time. We'll get to that. But it's your basic Casper story, but I guess because like all of these cartoons where there's not really much to the world, we gotta pepper it with whatever we can find. So the thrust of the movie is Kathy Moriarty plays this woman who inherits a house from her dead father, and her butler, manservant, lawyer, bodyguard, played by Eric Idle.
Who's debasing himself.
Oh, yeah. He is not fucking slumming it in this movie.
Well, because this is right after fucking Splitting Hairs, and like... I don't know. After something like that, that was a disaster.
Splitting Hairs, it's him and Rick Moranis.
And Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah, that's a bad movie.
It is shitty. And so I kind of see why he took this.
I mean, whatever. And you're going to be in a big Universal movie.
Exactly.
And this was a hit.
It was a humongous hit. It's just, it was like the eighth biggest for 95.
96 or 90? 95. I didn't say 96. It's 95. 95, stupid IMDb.
I think it's the, yeah, it was the eighth highest grossing movie of 1995. That's insane that this was allowed.
Sold more tickets than Seven, Usual Suspects. She inherits this house. She doesn't care, but then she finds out there might be treasure in it.
This is the most ridiculous thing, because like she gets the house from Ben Stein or whatever, right?
Yeah,
it actually Ben Stein?
It's Ben Stein, is the father's like estate attorney.
He's got a cameo in one of the sequels, but
he's doing a real Ben Stein job in this movie.
Well, it's fucking what, a couple years before he started throwing his money away on television for the public.
So she decides, oh, that old mansion, that's worthless. Let me throw this deed in the fire. And then Eric Idle's like, oh, no, that's money, you know? And then there's something on the deed, like in invisible ink, going like, there be treasure buried there in the Friendship Main Mansion.
Yeah, it's like, oh, look at this. There's a treasure map written in pirate speak that apparently is leading me to some sort of fortune in a Maine mansion. You know, all those pirates in Maine.
And she flips out, you know, because she's like, oh, the treasure, you know, like. She's treasure crazy. It reminded me of Indiana Jones Part 4. With
what's his face there?
Ray Winstone. Yeah.
Oh, where's that treasure at, Casper?
Gold! I want my gold! Casper, give me the gold!
This is what this is the motivation for rich characters in movies or adventure seekers as well. Uh-huh. But it's like, oh, it's worth nothing. So who cares? But if there's treasure, you know, they don't have any idea what kind of treasure it is. Because, you know, one man's junk could be another man's treasure.
Well, yeah, and in so this it could case, be junk. It's true. But it is junk.
Well, right. It's funny because the minute I saw, like, she's got, like, it's a huge plot of land and she's about to toss it in the fire. And I kind of just thought about what if, like, Daniel Plainview walked into that house and was like, I'll make you an offer for that. Like, it's just a little silly. Just like, fuck it. Yeah, this huge plot of land, fuck it.
Yeah, no, that is, it's really stupid because you're throwing away a deed to a house that's located on this gorgeous, like, coastal cliff. Like, you would get some serious bank, like, sell that to somebody, they'll knock it down and, like, build a nice B&B there.
Just hire, and it, really, if you're that interested in the treasure, hire the Goonies and get it over with.
Yeah, those guys aren't doing anything.
They're not doing anything.
It was the mid-90s. They were dealing with middle school or high school.
Managing hardware stores. Or somewhere.
Awkwardly going through adolescence.
Exactly.
So they go to the house and then, oh, whoops, it's haunted by something. Yeah. So here we get the cavalcade of cameos, part one, because there's two cavalcades of cameos in this movie. The first one, this is some sickening shit. It outright makes you want to vomit.
Yes.
So they're like, all right, the house is haunted. We got to do something about this. Who can we hire? Enter the character, the beloved comedy character, Father Guido Sarducci. Talk about slumming it.
Oh, my God. If you watch this and your soul just starts to die, you know?
He comes up, goes in the house, you know, says he's going to do an exorcism, comes back out. And this is a weird thing in this movie. Like, his head's turned all the way around and he's totally alive. Like, what kind of physics are we dealing with in this world?
This is the thing. This is what happened. Is the director, Brad Silberling... I think his name is
Silberling, something like that.
What he did is he got hammered one night and turned on The Exorcist.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't remember all of it. He's just like, wait, somebody's head turns around and they vomit everywhere. Okay, we do that to Sarducci. That's what we do. That's the joke, right?
Really teach that fucker a lesson.
And it's the worst CGI you've ever seen this side of
anything. It's really terrible. It's I will say that, like, the animated ghost stuff isn't that bad for, like, you know,
for the time,
human beings interacting with cartoon characters. Yeah. You know, it's on the level of a Roger Rabbit type quality, only they're all computerized. So it's not bad.
There's a couple of times Eric Idle is, like, looking at the top of Casper's head rather than the eyes. But
Eric Idle was the only one who just couldn't get it.
Well, because he just doesn't give a shit. Why
now,
would you?
Where am I looking? Oh, fuck it.
Oh, man, he should have been in episode one opposite Jar Jar Binks. That would have been great. Eric Idle is just like a absent-minded Jedi.
That would be pretty good. Where did I put my lightsaber? Oh, fuck it.
He's like, he doesn't realize he uses the Force.
Speaking of fuck it, by the way, so Sarducci's out of there. It's like, oh, who can we get in next? The door bursts open. A bunch of furniture flies out. And here comes, you want to talk about throwing up, Dan Aykroyd dressed up as Dr. Ray Stantz, the Ghostbuster, with a mustache, by the way.
And, and we say dressed up, we're not talking lab coat. We're talking about protein pack, proton pack and all.
Proton pack, the jumpsuit, and he gets out and he looks Kathy Moriarty dead in the eye and says this.
Who are you going to call?
Someone else.
That's disgusting. This is the scariest part of the movie. That shit made my skin crawl.
Guess what?
Someone else.
That's Ghostbusters 3. You got it, guys. Yep. That's what it would be.
You know what? We had it, and we didn't even know we had it. This whole time, it was hiding in Casper.
Sidebar on this. Dan Aykroyd, and this should tell you a lot about my relationship with my father. he sent me a postcard. This was about a month ago. It's a postcard inside of a mailer, and I take it out. It just has a little post note. Thought you needed to see this. And it's a flyer for Dan Aykroyd showing up at a Liquor King in New Jersey to push his new brand of tequila. And he's doing, like, signings.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Is it also Skull Tequila?
Yeah,
like
it's Skull Tequila. And he's holding it, and he's like, come see fucking Dan Aykroyd.
Oh,
question,
chill.
Question
in a liquor
you.
Warehouse.
Sure.
Has this already happened? Can we go?
I believe it was last week.
Oh, man. You know what, Chris? When you get information like this, you have to disseminate it amongst the group.
Because you could go there, get drunk on Dan Aykroyd's liquor, and then heckle him.
This is for Casper, and throw up all over him. Throw a fake mustache.
And that's
at him.
Just the beginning.
I got a lot of beef with you, Aykroyd.
What the fuck's with loser, huh?
See, the funny thing is, like, Dan Aykroyd always finds ways to mildly redeem himself. If you caught his appearance that he had on Fallon, like, maybe 2-3 months ago, I don't know, it was a while back, he came out, and it was, you know, it was Jimmy Fallon.
Was he a Ghostbuster again?
No, which was great. He just came out, and it was like, you know, Fallon was like, ladies and gentlemen, the great Dan Aykroyd. And he comes out, not dressed as a Blues Brother, but, like, plays a song. And, like, dances around the stage and goes all the way around, like, backstage while playing, does this whole bit. Like, it was Blues Brothers songs, but he wasn't in the full suit or anything.
Right.
And then, like, comes all the way around the studio and then, like, back out and sits down. I was like, that's a fucking class act right there. This cameo, though?
Yeah.
Not so much.
No, not so much.
He seems like a good egg.
And try that tequila, though.
So after those things fail, after the cast of SNL fails to get the ghosts out of this house.
After we decide this isn't Scary Movie.
Yeah. They get construction workers to just, like, bulldoze it, right? Like, just tear it down.
Just tear it down.
But it's too spooky for even them. What are you talking about? Why are these guys running out? Just blow it up.
Why are they inside? How would they even know?
It's because controlled demolition, I guess.
To have, like, they have bulldozers ready just to knock the fucker down.
Just, you know, just hire, you could, I'm sure in Maine, you could find a guy who's willing to huck TNT at a building.
Oh, yes. you could find a whole team of guys to do that job.
Just circle the building, throw in sticks and dynamite, lighten it.
Just go to the park at 2 a.m. with fresh 20s in your hand and find people. They'll do it.
Or Dan Aykroyd brand tequila. You'll be fine. You'll get them.
You light up my building, and I'll light up your life. Dan Aykroyd, Skull Tequila. See, I could do that. I could show up at that liquor warehouse and shill that shit. So she's at the end of her rope, Kathy Moriarty is. She goes back to her Stephen King-themed bed and breakfast, and she's watching Hard Copy like we all did in the mid-90s. We were all watching Hard Copy.
Well, you're forgetting that, like, most of this, Casper isn't revealed in this
No,
movie.
It's
he's the first thing you see, essentially. The movie begins with him scaring I had to write it down because it's Squints Palador from
Squints
Sandlot.
From Sandlot.
Who I finally just looked at the fucking name, and it's amazing because I think it's the only time this has happened in the history of Hollywood. A man named Chauncey had a career. His name is Chauncey Leopardi. They get him and his buddy get scared. And most of this is from Casper's perspective of he's lonely. He's in this house.
Right. He wants a friend.
And looked after by his shitty uncle ghosts.
Oh, boy.
Ugh. Yeah.
They were characters from the cartoon as well, the Ghostly Trio.
Uh-huh.
So it's his idea. He hears something about...
He's watching Hard Copy.
He's watching Hard Copy.
Oh, you're you're
Casper's
right.
Casper's sitting around with a snifter of brandy going, what went wrong?
Dude, like I said, we all watched Hard Copy in the mid-90s. It was on after Simpsons reruns.
Even the dead.
It was on before Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah.
That's where I always had
Dude, you
got to
get your Mary Hart on.
What?
She hosted Entertainment Tonight with John Tesh.
Oh, you're right. Oh.
Come on, the classic duo of Tesh and Hart.
I just remember
Tesh. I didn't say Hart on. I said Hart on. Mary Hart on.
Get your Mary Hart on.
Hart on. Yeah. Okay.
So speaking of Hart on, so this little ghost is watching TV and he's like, he sees a story, a profile on Hard Copy. Without this Hard Copy story, we would not have a movie.
No.
It's a profile on Bill Pullman, the president himself, who is a ghost psychologist. And his little daughter, Kat, played by Christina Ricci, who follows him around and is miserable with her life. What's amazing is this Hard Copy profile is like, and then his very lonely daughter, Kat. Like, way to go. Way to just, like, out this girl as, like, a weird loner on national TV.
They're, like, filming her and, like, giving her shit.
Yeah, it's like TMZ videos. She's like, you know, I'm trying to have my first day of school here. And they're like, why don't you just talk to us about your weird father? Isn't he an idiot?
Well, that's the thing. In those situations, you want to stay with the weirdo. You want to stick with him because he's the one who's going to be saying the weird shit.
That's the weird thing. He agreed to do the interview. And he's on camera talking to the camera. But then it seems like behind his back, they're like, let's go get his daughter, too.
Oh, yeah, let's see what she has to say about it. Well, you know what? Hard Copy was not really known for its journalistic integrity.
Not really,
and
no.
He comes across like a total charlatan, like a crossing over with John Edwards type of guy.
That guy was a real fucking scammer, huh?
Because he's not really doing anything. He's just like sitting in this office, like... You don't see him, like, visiting with anybody. He's just, like, writing in his journal and then, like, holding his hand against the wall and looking pensive.
And you know what? Honestly, ghost doctors, I'm going to need a little more than, ghosts have unfinished business. I've heard it 1,000 times.
Yeah, really? Yep.
Yeah, that's what almost the entire ghost mythology is based on.
Yeah.
Unfinished business. Like, do me one better, Pullman. Why did you start this business? Unfinished business for him is the fucking IRS forms he hasn't filled out. It's just this fucking ridiculous organization he started.
That's why he never stays put.
Yeah, that's why he's moving from town to town. He's being chased by the man.
By the tax man. Just like Wes Craven was chased by.
Tax man. No.
So Casper's like, I'm a lonely old ghost. This is a great idea. I think that girl's really cute. I'm going to get them to come to my house. So he leaves the mansion. And this is something that I don't know that, you know, ghost mythology supports. But he flies downtown into the village, goes into, like, the cable wiring system, mm-hmm. and starts moving. He turns her TV on, turns it to hard copy, starts making the TV stand follow her around the room till she notices it. And she's like, hey, that's great. I'll call Bill Pullman and his daughter.
Man, that is uncanny. It's like she's here.
She's here right now and not filming a Law and Order episode. So they fly out to Maine and they move from Santa Fe. We got the whole thing about, like, she, you know, wants him to stay put. You know, we learned that the mom recently died and he didn't handle it well. So he's, like, chasing ghosts around the country, or at least telling himself
that's what
he's doing.
Have you seen my wife?
Excuse me, other ghost? Have you seen my ghost wife?
Here's her picture.
Here's her ghost rendering. This is what she might look like as a member of the undead.
Which you have to draw, like, looking like a big fat bubble cartoon.
You just, like, rub the eraser over just gently just to get it a little blurry. Yeah, that's her. No, yeah, that's good.
So, I mean, we get to learn how everybody makes friends in this movie, right? I mean, that's all it is.
I mean,
Christina Ricci, you know, she meets Casper, and it's, like, kind of terrifying at first. There's a gross thing that happens here. And, you know, this is one of those things where some people might be like, guys, it's a kid's movie. No, this is gross, and I'll tell you why. So she faints, and Casper's like, oh, my goodness, I killed her. You know, let me try to revive her. And he throws himself in the sink and gets himself all wet. And then he flies above her, and Christina Ricci's, like, passed out, and he starts wringing out the bottom half of his body and, like, pissing on her face,
yeah.
like, to get this water to, like, sprinkle out. And she's like, oh, what, is someone peeing on me? Hi, Casper.
No, there's some soul getting in there. I'm sorry. You're getting a little bit of your soul in Ricci.
Yeah, there's some sort of ectoplasm falling on her face. It's disgusting.
What sucks about this is that they don't really, there's no terms to what the ghosts can do. They kind of just fly by the seat of their pants. Like, sometimes they can get hit by actual objects. Other times they're just running through walls and, like, doing all this kind of shit. It really makes no sense whatsoever.
It's very frustrating in a movie like this when you don't have, like, strict ghost laws. You really need to, like,
set
borders.
I really just need one.
Yeah. Basic, you know, it'd be nice to have a whole house, but three walls would be fine. One.
Maybe like a stake that you would actually have to write around. Something that makes you have to write in a particular way rather than just be like, oh, this is a gag. Let's put it in there.
The only thing that they sort of set up at the end of the movie apparently is, like, if you're a ghost and you say out loud, like, well, I don't have any unfinished business, you'll cross over to the other
apparently,
side.
Apparently, yeah. God forgot.
That's all it takes, by the way. So it's like you either, like, these four ghosts in this house, like, love being ghosts, or they've never heard of that ghost rule before.
Well, I think Casper's never heard of that ghost rule before.
Do you think he'd cross over to get out of that house?
Just, I mean, you can live in with. I mean, we haven't gotten to them yet, but the stretchy, stinky, and fatso.
You're a dead kid. I mean, how much punishment can there be once you cross over? I mean, well, I feel like it's in your best interest to cross over.
I mean, yeah. I think. But this is what I don't understand, and it's crucial. The only reason it stuck with me is because the whole fucking point of the movie is that he's a lonely ghost and he wants a friend. The whole goddamn point of the fucking movie.
Yes.
And the idea is that he can't leave the house, therefore he can't find friends because everybody who comes into the house is scared by him.
Right.
But in this scene with Kathy Moriarty, he's just fucking going through town. He can go to any house he likes and visit anybody he would like.
Yeah, but
and one of these people, I'm sorry, maybe it's going to be a little stupid kid, but they're going to be friends with you. That was the point of the cartoon and the fucking comic book, was he would just be friends with kids and, like, get shenanigans done.
Right, yeah, the kids would accept him. Like, you don't have to sit in your house and wait for people to come to you. You don't have to be watching Hard Copy, you know, tricking Kathy Moriarty, real estate mogul, to, like, bring people to you. Yeah. You know, you can go out and, you know, why don't you haunt the school? There's plenty of kids at the school.
Yeah.
Just go there. Be friends. You're going to find, like, the weird kid who's like, oh, a ghost. Great. You know,
the simplest thing in the world. You have all these ghost powers. You go into your own local Liquor King and you steal some of Dan Aykroyd's skull liquor for the popular kids in the high school.
Oh.
You've got friends forever there, buddy.
See, that's where you went with it. I thought you were buttering us up to, and then you give it to the bums in the alley.
Well, that would be your friends. Really?
Great time.
Yeah, this is key to the city, man. You're a ghost. You could be friends with anybody.
I love the idea of like this small main town sheriff being like, okay, kids, now who bought you the liquor? And they're like, we swear to God, a ghost stole it for us. Okay, now, nobody likes a liar.
Zero tolerance, don't you know? Into the slammer.
I more would like it if this sheriff was just kind of like, was really just fucking tired of Casper's shenanigans. And like, he comes up and the kids are like, oh, we got it from Casper. That fucking little ghost.
That's who should be calling Bill Pullman. We got him, this little shit ass ghost. Give him all kind. Oh, well, he dropped that mean accent.
Don't listen to his cycle babbles.
He will try things on you and it will turn your head around.
I don't know why this is the accent for, like, what, Massachusetts?
No, it's Maine.
Oh, it's Maine, yes.
Now, Dr. Pullman, this ghost will spin you a yarn or two. Don't listen to a word he says. Just make sure he crosses over to hell. Make him be with the devil.
Tried to get the father to exercise him a few times. Didn't work. He screamed a lot.
Oh, I love that. The sheriff's forcing the father to exercise the house. And they called fucking Guido Sarducci.
Because you know, he got bumped up to Rome. Because he was supposed to, I think part of the premise was he was supposed to be a Vatican guy at one point.
So they make friends. And then downstairs, Bill Pullman meets the evil trio or whatever the fuck they're called.
Stretch, Stinky, and Fatso Fatso.
Yep. Do it. Say it.
Brad Garrett.
Oh, man. Fucking Brad Garrett in this movie, voicing this fat, obese ghost. It is unbelievable.
It's just so obnoxious.
It's the three of them. And it's
Bill Pullman's instantly scared shitless by every single ghost in this movie.
Oh, he is shitting his ever-loving pants when he sees these
Casper,
ghosts.
Casper, and you see like the shit chunks flying out of his trousers.
Like, oh, I'm sorry, Bill Pullman. I thought this was your job. I thought you loved talking to ghosts and helping them cross over with their unfinished business. You fucking liar. You lied to Hard Copy. You lied to America. This job is garbage. Yeah. Get over your dead wife and move on. You fucking two-faced liar.
Doesn't really matter, because if you lie to Hard Copy, you do lie to America. It is the equivalent.
Hard Copy and America were one and the same between 1993 to 1997. It was our hardest hitting news source at the time.
By the way, so when we're introduced to the ghostly trio, yeah. I think this needs to be noted. Their Stretch, I believe, is riding in on a ghost horse. He's riding on a saddle with a ghost horse. There is a wreath and a trophy that the other ones are holding from winning a race. He raced a ghost horse in a real horse race and won.
And somehow won.
And they gave him the trophy, or they stole it or whatever. But how is Mulder and Scully not down there immediately? Yeah,
Scully, we just got a report out of Maine that there's another rigged horse race. Better go check it out.
Better not. Those Mainers are notorious for that. So
fixing horse races.
It's all a scam.
Mulder, stop testing my reasoning.
It's like, why can't they just be in the house? Why do they have to be coming home from gambling or rigging gambling?
Because they're such stinkers.
Yeah, they're just scumbags. Like, just fucking, like, wheelers and dealers. Like,
they are real deadbeat, no pun intended, scumbags.
They are, honestly, probably the worst movie characters I've ever seen.
They're really, really obnoxious.
And they are most of this movie.
Oh, it is the trio show. Like, this movie should be called Three Ghosts and a Little Casper. Because Casper's like kind of around, and yeah, he's got like a central theme and whatnot. But every time Casper turns his head, these three dudes take over the movie, and it fucking sucks. They're so, so, so utterly obnoxious. I can't even tell. The one-liners don't stop.
Oh,
the burping and the fart noises and the screaming and yelling.
Thank you for tuning into ABC Family. Coming right up, we have Three Dead Assholes and Some Baby or Something. Starring Bill Pullman.
Man, I would watch that.
If it was called that, yeah. I would be tricked into watching this movie. Be
strapping right in for that one. But the thing with this movie is that there's so much fucking plot. Like,
It's very plot heavy.
We have to deal with Christina Ricci, who's planning this fucking Halloween dance.
Oh, let's talk about that bit of bullshit for a hot second, because this is frustrating. It's her first day of school in this sleepy main town, and she comes in, and the teacher's doing the old, like, why don't you tell something about yourself kind of a thing. And the teacher is then like, oh, hey, big announcement, by the way, the gym's being renovated, so we can't have our Halloween dance. And then this rich girl's like, well, we could totally have it on my parents' boat, or like whatever the fuck it is. And everyone's like, yay, even though they kind of hate her guts. And then Christina Ricci's like, oh, so I live at this house, by the way. And they're like, oh, wow, the big haunted house. And some kid's like, oh, fuck that rich girl. Let's have the Halloween dance at her house.
Whipstaff Manor.
Yes, thank you. And everyone's like, yeah, Whipstaff. And the teacher's like, well, the children have spoken. They, like, force her to host this Halloween
but
dance.
But not only that, how does this one homeroom have the authority to change the school dance?
Yeah, well, it's settled. I'll tell the whole school later.
I'll tell the other 270 students in this school.
And I also don't appreciate how this teacher allows heckling, because they were just being so... They were just laughing at this girl for
being
new.
Oh, they make fun of her,
so,
and this guy's just like, well... First day, new kid. Like, fuck you, teacher.
And then he punches her in the shoulder.
Well, that's something I've never understood. And it never happened in my high school, from what I remember, at least.
Bullying?
But no. Like, getting called, like, if you're the new kid, you getting called in front of the entire class?
I've seen that happen.
Really?
I think I have.
Oh,
unless
God.
I'm confusing fiction and reality again.
Sometimes that happens with you.
Does.
Sometimes reality and fantasy blend. Sometimes, so I wouldn't trust a word you say.
I should just cross over.
Like, I always remember...
I've never seen it in real life either, by the way.
Because I always remember as just like, you do the attendance at class, Kevin Kerensky. Oh, new person, Corathon, or whoever gives the... Like, it was just that simple. It was just like around the
Oh, that's a new person? Great. Yeah. Let's
right.
move on
maybe,
now.
Maybe
let's move on and not talk to this person.
More on the Battle of Saratoga now.
To bring them up there and then let the other kids scream out lines and zingers at them? Like, come on.
It's too much.
It's classless.
Unless it was a zingers class. We don't know what those kids were there
AP
to say.
AP zingers?
Yeah. It was AP zingers.
I think this is remedial zingers.
Yeah, there's
like
a lot of stupid kids
are
in this
very
movie.
Not these aren't good zingers.
Oh my God. So
he gets in a big fight with these ghosts, by the way. Bill Pullman
starts
dueling with these ghosts. And it's very important because this leads us to the second cavalcade of cameos.
Holy shit.
This goes on forever.
This is how it happens. Vatso Brad Garrett ghost jumps into his mouth. And it's just like, you're eating me now. I'm going inside of your belly.
They all go inside him.
Holy Toledo.
All three squeeze inside Bill Pullman's body very eerily.
Because he faints because he's scared so much by these three goofballs.
And so he stands up like, oh, wow, did I really just eat three ghosts? That's weird. And he like shoves some water on his face and looks in the mirror. And my God.
Oh, boy.
First... His face contorts into Clint Eastwood. And it's not a person doing a Clint Eastwood impression. It's fucking Clint Eastwood.
Doing an actual cameo. Clint Eastwood filmed stuff for this movie.
Well, maybe like, you know, Clint Eastwood was like around when this comic was conceived in the 30s or something.
Well, that's why I think...
He was the first person to read the Casper comic.
He was the first person to get it in
the mail. He proofread the first Casper.
While celebrating his 40th birthday.
Well, I mean, that's why I think everybody's, and we'll get to it in a minute, but like, I think it's all of it is because, oh, Casper, I love Casper.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the book or whatever. So it's,
oh, money, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Sure.
Oh, I'm also a fan of money. How weird. I'm a fan of money, and but I'm a bigger fan of Casper, but I am a fan of money, goddammit.
Oh, you're going to, okay, my $10 million, like, fucking, I don't know, Civil War epic? Sure, I'll fucking play a face in your movie.
So then Clint Eastwood, in a horrifying turn, mutates into Rodney. So all of a sudden, here's Dangerfield, and he tells like a sort of Rodney joke, but it's like PG, so who cares?
Yeah.
And you're like, this is terrible. You don't even know what you're doing here. You don't even know where you are right now.
And next, Mel Gibson making out like a bandit because he doesn't have to say a word.
Oh, man.
He got off pretty easily.
He just takes a look like, That's looking good. And then, bam, and Crypt Keeper.
At the height of his powers, too. That's a prime Mel Gibson.
Yeah, that's pre-I Hate Jews Mel Gibson.
That's Braveheart. That's, I think it's same year as Braveheart.
Yeah, 95.
It's right around there.
Yeah, he like looks at his flowing locks in the mirror. Yeah, and then turns into the Crypt Keeper.
So if you can now, if these ghosts can change their appearances so that a mortal would be able to view them as, say, Mel Gibson.
Right.
The fuck's Casper's problem? Morph into Mel Gibson if you want to sleep with Christina Ricci, right?
More importantly, what the fuck is the problem with this script? Why isn't that part of it? Why aren't you playing more with that? That's funny. That could you like
there's endless possibilities.
Lily Tomlin with Steve Martin and All of Me, like doing all those fucking two people in one, those janky physical comedy things. Like there's stuff to do here if you want to go that way, but it's all a gag.
Here's the problem. We can't have shape-shifting be like the focal point of this movie, because then we can't have those hilarious three ghosts on screen the whole time. Or our not as hilarious main character ghost.
You know, this was probably something where it was like, oh, you know, we got this great script for Casper. Oh, it's so funny. Oh, we got all these people that agreed to do cameos. I didn't tell you guys, but I went out and got all these people. So I'll fit it in there somewhere. I don't know. Put it in a mirror. Like, just it's just a last-second type of cameo, yeah, right?
It's
just
so like, last-second.
Because the worst part is the Crypt Keeper comes, and he does a Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, that's right. He does the, like, face slap and screams.
That's the day that everyone left, and it was only the Crypt Keeper in hell.
Oh, no! I'm missing out on my family's trip to Paris! Guess I'll have to stay home in Screamsville.
Catherine O'Hara waking up on a plane. We left the Crypt Keeper.
Satan just looks at him. Look what you did, little twerp.
Uncle Damien.
Oh, boy.
So there's some cameos going on. It's terrible. Also right here, they're like, they're fucking with him after they like jump back out of his body. And Bill Pullman runs into a closet. And it's ridiculous because it's the mid-90s, so we're still making jokes like this. He slams the door on him, and Brad Garrett goes, ha, 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 what a closet case. Oh, do we just get it, everybody.
Hey, gay people are funny.
Hey, you laughing yet?
let's put that in there, too.
Closet humor. Get it?
So the whole thing is Bill Pullman's like, all right, I'm going to give these three ghosts, he's not focusing on Casper. He doesn't care about Casper as much. I'm going to give these three ghosts psychotherapy to try to talk them into crossing over to the other side. I'll get a check from Kathy Moriarty and she can knock down this house and find the treasure or whatever. Problem being, I don't think Bill Pullman's an actual licensed psychiatrist.
Oh, absolutely not. No way.
Like, he's got these degrees in picture frames from Johns Hopkins, but it's like, at no point ever in this movie does he try to conduct any kind of psychotherapy with these ghosts.
More importantly, he has a printer with his computer.
I just want to tell both of you right now, the listeners can't see you doing your air quotes.
I thought by inflection.
No, it did, but I want to paint a picture for the folks at home.
Listen, the inflection is for them. The air quotes are for you, buddy. Just so you know what the hell's going on.
I won the lottery.
Either he's got a printer with his computer, or, I mean, what? There's, what, 100 goddamn community colleges in Arizona? He went to one of them, he got in his associates, and he's done.
Yeah, definitely. Most definitely.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, my 20s, while being a lot of fun a lot of the time, were pretty rough. I wasn't exactly rolling in dough. I lived at home until I was about 25, and for most of it, I didn't have this show or you lovely people in my life. I just kind of drifted around without direction and didn't know where to voice that. Then I started to get my crap together one piece at a time, and the last piece, which didn't come until my early 30s, was therapy. And man, I wish it came along sooner. Ever since I started sitting down with a licensed therapist, I've had a place to voice my insecurities and try to fashion plans to help me achieve my goals. So that's why I'm thrilled we're sponsored by BetterHelp. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be flexible, convenient, and suited to meet your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and the good thing is you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/WHM today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/WHM.
This episode's brought to you in part by Rocket Money, and they have this question for you. They handed to me just now. Mr. Rocket just handed me this. Do you know how much your subscriptions really cost? Most Americans think they pay around $80 a month on subscription services, but the actual total is closer to $200. If you don't know exactly how much you're spending every month, you need Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. And with Rocket Money, you could lower those bills without resorting to having bean dinners every night of the week. You know, you have those bean dinners to try to save some few bucks, but if you were monitoring your spending with Rocket Money, you didn't necessarily need to eat every bean dinner. So find out what all the fuss is about. You know, over 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about, like the Stars app. Don't get me started. You don't have to go through all the back end of the website anymore. You don't have to call customer service. Rocket Money helps you manage all your finances in one place as well and categorizes everything. It's easy to keep track of a whole budget. Even I can do it, and I got rocks in my head. So find out what 3 million people have already done. They've taken the Rocket, folks. Stop throwing the money away. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/WHM. That is rocketmoney.com/WHM. Once more, rocketmoney.com/WHM, which stands for We Hate Movies.
Here's a question, because this scene leads into, they have a scene where Casper's cooking Christina Ricci breakfast, and then these three annoying pricks come in and fuck it up again, right? Again, Brad Garrett with an obnoxious line. He says, I feel like Oprah on hiatus, because we're making Oprah's fat jokes in this movie, too.
So what they, we should talk about what their food is, right? What these, what these goddamn despicable monsters
candy
eat.
And donuts.
And chocolate. And it's like, so like, Casper has to feed these monsters, and he brings out all these platters. I don't know where he gets this stuff.
Why are ghosts grocery shopping? Why are ghosts eating?
Yes.
I mean,
who cares?
Why don't I see the fucking, I would love this scene where the fucking delivery guy has to come to the house like, who's paying me my tip here?
And I'm sorry, they're ghosts who've been dead presumably for decades. What are they paying him with? Like gold coins?
Doubloons. It's absolutely
doubloons. It's got to be doubloons.
That's where all the treasure went.
Their grocery budget.
Treasure. So they're eating all this like candy and chocolate and stuff and candy bars, and it's just falling out their asses and it's just hitting the ground. And Casper is like cleaning up their, it's their shit at this point. Yeah. He's cleaning up their shit. And Stretch is not too pleased with that. You know, we used to be able to eat off this floor. He turns his lower body into a Nike shoe with the swoop on it.
Oh, yeah. You better believe that swoop's front and center.
Kicks that baby ghost right out of frame.
Well, because I think Stretch kind of wanted to have, like, a last scene at Dead Ringers kind of situation. Where it's just like shit's just everywhere. And you can just like pick shit off the fucking floor and eat like a pizza with an orange juice or whatever.
I love living in human atrocities.
Now, this is the question that I was leading into.
That's why he wears Nikes.
Because it's like, it's one obnoxious scene with these pricks right into another one. And it made me think, especially with the voices that these actors are giving them, who are the more annoying characters in cinema history? These three or the weasels from Roger Rabbit?
Oh, these three.
Oh, yeah, these three.
I'm glad I got the unanimous decision about that.
They are the AP zingers. They are the guys who went to AP zingers. They had the better lines.
It's true. And this trio of ghosts, I mean, this has to be the baddest villains in cinema history.
That's really the issue. They're not really villains. Kathy Moriarty is the villain. These guys are just fucking yammering the whole goddamn time.
Just yammering.
They're not they're not outright villains. They're sort of antagonists at first, but God, are they annoying. My Lord.
It is something.
Can I just say that AP Zinger sounds like a nifty name for like a TGI Fridays type restaurant? Welcome to AP Zingers. We got great pot stickers tonight and 2-for-1 appetizer specials. You want a milkshake with that? I hate my job.
It's all mini calzones.
It's like you're buying like a $9.95 Hot Pocket.
Yeah, that's what I think AP Zingers is in, like in like battered sour cream or whatever.
What a refill on that Dan Aykroyd margarita.
Hey, you two ladies look lonely. Welcome to AP Zinger's Bar, where there's all you can drink mudslides. Ladies only, Tuesdays 9 to 9:45.
Oh, out of all the fake institutions we've created, I'd much rather be at Muldoon's.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Muldoon's is our kind of place.
By the way, Casper, from what I know of it, death doesn't hang over it quite as much as this movie would make it out to be.
Yeah, I feel like part of this movie's mission was like, let's ease kids into talking about death.
But it's not even easing. It's like, here, kids, here's fucking death. And just like shoves them in right into it.
Yeah, it's right in your face. So like Casper's like, hey, let's go hang out on top of this lighthouse where I go every night and stare eerily out into the sea.
That's the thing, is like she has been like offered a date by a neighborhood hunk for the dance.
Bowl cut and all, because it's 1995.
Right. And Casper is like really like weirdly jealous and stuff.
It's super jealous.
It's really and by the way, we didn't mention it, but he like follows her to school and hides out in like the clocks and stuff. He is overly clingy and he is dangerous.
What I was saying is because this is a kid, like remember, this is a kid's property. This is supposed to be kids hanging out with this ghost and getting in shenanigans. This movie is a teen romance.
Yeah. Why?
That just happens to have a ghost in it.
The ages are kind of off too, because the cartoon is drawn. I mean, like Casper's a little kid,
yeah.
Right. And Christina Ricci's like 13. Yeah, she's supposed to be like 13 or 14 in this movie.
Right.
So it's like kind of off, but he's saying shit like, can I keep you?
Well, the thing
that was so creepy when I heard that line in the theater, when I saw this fucking thing, I just kind of was like what? Like in a basement?
Can I sleep on your bones? But he is disgusting and creepy. I mean, the thing is with the ages, I mean, by now he's like, what, like 200?
Yeah,
I don't know. And well, he's watching hard copy.
He's 200, he's watching hard copy. He's got the fucking mentality of a little 8-year-old boy still, though. There's also some awkward dialogue. And again, it's going to be, but Andrew, it's a kid's movie. No, because this is really, really weird. They're having breakfast, right? And Christina Ricci like reaches her hand out and she goes, I've never done anything like this before. And he says something like, oh, it's okay. And she's like, can you hurt me? And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about right now? What are we talking about? And
you understand, like, you're having a conversation with a ghost, correct?
She's like, can I hurt you?
Oh, maybe like telekinetically he's going to like do something to her?
Well, no, you know he can absolutely... That's the thing. Like, he lies about this. He can absolutely hurt her.
Oh, yeah. They are capable of like picking stuff up.
Oh, yeah.
And
he almost kills her when he morphs into like... Oh, you think that hot hunk is so great? Well, I'm going to morph into something vaguely resembling Superman, and I'm going to put on an Arnold Schwarzenegger voice for a moment and then drag her out of a window where she's kicking and screaming to be let go.
He Lois Lane's her. He brings her up into the sky.
Yeah, and takes her to that lighthouse and being like, isn't this romantic?
I think actually he does the come with me if you want to live. No.
He does.
Well, he does.
Does he say
it's an
I almost want to live?
I'm pretty sure.
It's an iconic line. I don't know which one it is, but that sounds like a good one.
I think that's it.
Here, we'll make a note. Hey, Andrew, editing this episode, put in the line.
Come with me if you want to live.
Oh, it was that one.
Oh, wow.
See what we did there? We're back in this lighthouse where I brought us to before. And Christina Ricci, out of nowhere, is like, so how'd you die? This poor little baby ghost.
Hey, what are you in for?
Yeah, exactly. How did you become a member of the Living Dead?
And it's like a fucking Simon Birch story.
Well, he doesn't remember. His whole thing is because he says like, oh, well, when you die, like your life doesn't matter. So I don't know how I fucking died. I'm just here. Why can't you enjoy my lighthouse? And she's like, because I'm Wednesday Addams and I'm as morbid as they come. Tell me how you died.
Well, he remembers everything up to it.
Right. Remembers his life.
And it's clearly a Simon Birch ending. It's clearly a lot like. He went out and he was slaying too long.
Well, so you're getting ahead of yourself. What happens is she finds Casper's creepy dust-covered playroom. She's like, oh, look at all these toys from the 19-teens. And she starts like cleaning this room, like setting up all these like cool antique toys and whatnot. And she's like, hey, Casper, come in. I hope this jogs your ghost memory.
And the room is so ornate and so crazy. She must have spent like a year cleaning this place up.
The amount of pine saw that went into cleaning this room is probably astronomical.
Mr. Casper's father must have been like a wealthy industrialist of some kind.
Oh, he was like a H.G. robber penny packer. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
He was a big spender.
So what happens is she successfully jogs his memory, and he's like, oh, well, I wanted this sled, and my dad said I couldn't have it, and then one day he just bought it for me.
And beat me to death with it.
He beat me to death with Rosebud. And he's like, oh, I just went sledding. Like, he basically sled himself to death.
He stayed out too long, and he got pneumonia.
Yes.
That's what happened.
Just kind of slipped into pneumonia and fell asleep, Casper did. It's like, you know what, Universal Pictures? I don't need to know how Casper the Friendly Ghost passed on and became
why don't we put any OD'd on fun? Well, I guess we got to make that a little more real.
He didn't brush his teeth. That's the one.
His teeth rotted out of his head and he got a blood infection and died.
Gingivitis.
The mothers will like it. The mothers will like that one.
Death by gingivitis. You know what, Harry? You're fired from this script writing team because you're the one that turned in Child Killer. We're trying to find innocent ways for a little boy to die.
In my original draft, Casper was found off the a grisly crime scene off of the I-95 highway. He was stuffed in a suitcase. There were signs of a struggle.
Now, let me ask you something. You seen Jaws? You see what happened to Quint? That's kind of what I was going for with Casper.
So, by this reveal, he also remembers that his dad was a sick inventor. And here's where this movie gets fucking crazy.
He was Nikola Tesla.
He was a downright mad scientist.
Total mad scientist. So he's like, oh, hey, I remembered where my dad's laboratory is. And I'm sitting there like, fucking laboratory? Don't we have a Halloween dance to set up for? What is going on right now?
And he's like, oh yeah, my dad's laboratory. Oh, and that resurrection machine I seem to have just forgot about.
And she's just like, say what? And he's like, come on, get in this chair ride that I really hope Universal Studios turns into a ride at their park, by the way, because you know that shit was floated around. Well, hey, how about we turn the Lavender Lazarus Pit ride into a thing at the park?
The trio could fly in and call everyone jerks. Well,
it's great because it's kind of exactly the same way Wallace of Wallace and Gromit wakes up.
I actually thought it was like a Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, it's a Pee Wee Herman machine.
Yeah,
I hate. So this shit is annoying to me, right? It's like you're an inventor, and every wacky inventor like this always invents the shit that's like, I'm too lazy to do the most menial task ever. Too lazy to brush my teeth? Well, a big robot hand comes out and brushes them for me. Too fucking lazy to feed my dog? Well, Doc Brown's got a thing that dumps dog food into a dish.
Well, I'm telling you what did it. Like, some asshole had to quote Albert Einstein's thing about how he only wore one thing every day, and somebody just ran with that. We're like, I could just be a wacky ass shithead and not brush my teeth like a human being would.
I think it's like trying to show us like, oh, this scientist was so creative that like every little thing he thought of something, a better way to do it. But it's really just like, dream bigger, buddy.
It's also not a better way to do it because Eric Idle goes through it and he's almost murdered by two straight razors.
Yeah, yeah. Straight.
In any decently run universe, Christina Ricci would die from fucking having that toothpaste that is a millennia old.
Yeah, that toothpaste has expired.
It is in and your mouth.
Turn of the 20th century toothpaste. It's full of like mercury and lead.
Oh yeah, it's baking just soda poison. And dirt.
Yeah,
it's disgusting. God, I would not survive back then. It'd be fucking terrible.
One of the first to go.
But you know what? I'd brush my teeth every day, not with the aid of a robot.
Yep.
I hate that shit. I hate it on Wallace and Gromit. I hate it in Back to the Future. Feed your fucking dog and clean yourself.
Well, in Wallace and Gromit, it makes sense because it's a fucking cartoon. Well, this is supposed to be a genius inventor who's in the real world who just fucking found out how to skip the afterlife.
By the way, I love that you see a photo of him, like, because the whole thing is he makes this invention after Casper dies,
right,
mm-hmm. is what we're led to believe. Like, the town thought he was crazy trying to build this Lazarus machine to bring his dead kid back. The fucking photos of him in, like, these stock newspapers totally just look like Teddy Roosevelt. It's fantastic. So they go down into this like secret lab / office area, and here's this huge machine. And I'm like, what is this movie getting into?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, so here's this machine. All I have to do is sit in it, and you take this container, which looks like the gummy bears gummy juice containers from the Gummy Bears cartoon, and shove it in this shit, turn it upside down, and go 88 miles per hour, and all of a sudden, I'm just going to have a corporeal body again.
Yep.
That's it.
But sure. So we're setting up that's what has to be done, but we also have two other storylines happening here concurrently.
There's so many balls in the air with this movie.
Okay. So this is my favorite of those two, Kathy Moriarty and Eric Idle. They're like, we haven't found the treasure yet. Oh, we need this treasure. Oh, you know what? We could search this house way quicker if one of us dies and becomes a ghost. So yep. Now the plot is we have to try to kill one another so one of us can become a ghost. And then we can find all the gold we want.
Well, they know that there is the safe in the office because they follow them down into the dungeon lair. And she's like, oh, look at that. It's a safe. Oh, I know how I could get in it. And they also know that this Lazarus machine exists. So she's like, all you have to do is die, float into the safe, get the treasure, and then we'll be out of here in no time.
So the ghost can just drag the treasure out of the vault.
She's not thinking this through.
Again, no ghost rules. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, and instead of trying to kill Eric Idle and stuff, she should have just had a few more cigarettes. Boy, that voice.
Yeah, that's something. So they get in like kind of a car accident.
Well, yeah, it's like she's after trying to axe Eric Idle and all these other things. She's trying to run him over in the Range Rover. She drives. Yeah. She hits like a tree. Doesn't realize that she's on the edge of a cliff. Opens the door, walks out, and falls down and into the abyss and dies.
That's the end of it. She just falls down.
She gets fucking full on good son.
And Eric Idle, we see him like zipping up and wiggling it out, you know, he just takes a piss on her corpse, I would imagine, anyway.
When you like are some subservient human being to someone like that, and that person dies, you have to piss on them.
Yeah.
I think that's a rule of the universe. And it's like, oh my God, my captor's dead. Piss,
and then you hock a lug.
And then you just move on with your life. You take that sweet Range Rover off the cliffside. Now you got a sweet car. Not bad.
Also, I would fucking leave. Like, I'm sorry. Like, there's treasure. I don't give it. Like, I don't think there really is treasure.
It's the worst kind of treasure. Unconfirmed treasure.
Yeah.
So he turns to walk away after hocking the lug, and it turns out she's bash.
She immediately turns into this ghost. She's like, well, now I'm a ghost. Isn't it great? Here comes Treasure Town. And you're like, this movie is fucking terrible.
Now we can notice that recently turned ghosts still have clothes or semblance of clothes.
Or pants suits specifically.
This is really stupid.
Cleavage.
Yeah, no, there is some serious boobage going on in this Kathy Moriarty ghost. And I hate this shit. It's like, we've got these like three
or four bulbous ghost characters that don't really resemble human beings because they're ghosts, but like because we've seen this actor throughout the movie, the ghost has to look almost exactly like her. So she's still got like a tail and shit, yeah. But she's got like huge Kathy Moriarty boobs, blonde hair out of, like, none of these ghosts have hair.
Like,
but
all the ghosts are white.
Yeah, and then she's wearing like a green Mrs. Krabappel jacket, and like that's the Kathy Moriarty ghost. Whatever,
it's
looks
just like
terrible.
A fucking Mad Men created character. It's just like fucking throw it up there, whatever he was wearing.
Meanwhile, the other ball is Bill Pullman is out drinking with the ghostly trio at the local bar. See, there you go again. You can make friends at the goddamn local bar. They're out drinking.
Go. Anywhere. I was saying that Casper should go to an orphanage. Fucking doomed kids central. And you can just make friends with all of them now. And the few that die of, you know, dysentery or whatever the hell, yeah. They come up and they're your friends.
It's win-win.
It's really...
Because kids in an orphanage, they only want two things. A hot meal and a close friend. That's it. And yeah, if you succumb to scabies or whatever the fuck, now you got a ghost friend.
Also,
that's great.
Casper, go full Patton. Make it a ghost army and take over this town.
Oh, can't cross over that bridge. That leads into ghost town. Population haunted.
Don't you know, Casper, leading an army of darkness up this way.
Casper and the Army of Darkness. That's the movie I want to see.
So,
Casper got some pretty extreme socioeconomic policies up there in your Army of Darkness.
You want my ticket price to go see a Casper movie at 30 now? Bruce Campbell versus Casper. You've got it.
Oh,
that's how you get money from me.
See that little marshmallow chainsawed? I'd love it.
You managed to turn the dead into nationalistic. Pretty proud they are of being dead, aren't they?
Wow, it's almost like they've been dead their whole lives. Don't remember anything before being dead socialists.
Okay, so
yeah, they're
out drinking, and the ghostly trio are like, we just love Bill Pullman so much. Why don't we kill him?
It's like, where are you getting this from? This is a children's movie. And they're like, yeah, all we got to do is make him one of us. And they got like
shotguns.
It's a shotgun, like a golf club or something.
Where does this come from?
And he's like singing like Willie Nelson karaoke or some shit.
Oh, it is some classic lonely man karaoke for sure.
And it's like the bar is like this shanty on a hill. It's not like an actual like bar and grill.
No, there's no mudslides at this place whatsoever. But there is one drunk customer and no bartender apparently. That's the worst kind of bar, because that's just a fucking free-for-all.
They probably killed him already.
That was Fatso.
I used to work here. Oh, Raymond. Oh, I hate coming here on my day off.
So Bill Pullman's like, you know what? I love you guys. You guys are my best friends. My wife's dead. My kid's kind of weird. But I don't mind living in this haunted house. I'm going to tell Kathy Moriarty to go sit on it. And he walks outside. And so at some point between when they got into the bar to start drinking and when he decides to exit the bar, a construction crew came by and cut a huge fucking pit in the front of the place.
A hole to the center of the earth,
this
apparently.
This is a street cliff. Now, Kathy falls off a regular cliff. He falls down a street cliff.
Oh, one of them urban cliffs, huh? Yep, they'll sneak up on you. And so he's dead, and you're like, holy fuck, like Bill Pullman's going to be a ghost now. So we cut back to this Lazarus room, and Casper's like about to do it. Kathy Moriarty swoops in. There's a big fucking fight. She steals the gummy juice, and she's like, now it's going to be mine. And then she mentions that she's the character who's like, Casper's like, by the way, you know, you can't go back to being a human. You have unfinished business as a ghost. And she says she doesn't have any. And she bursts into like a bunch of rays of light and disappears. That's how ghosts cross over in this world.
Yeah, they tricked her into dying for good. And now she can't, you can't take it with you.
Which,
nope, you cannot.
Pardonne-moi.
Uh-huh.
She's going to heaven.
No, she should have burst into red light, by the way.
How do we know she's going to heaven?
Because burst into light. Like, I assume, whenever I see shining light, I assume God's presence. Whenever I see like something opening up below and like
red flaming things or like a shadow or something. Yeah. Those white lights in movie terms, that's heaven. She went
maybe,
to heaven.
Maybe it's white hot.
Well, she committed the ultimate sin. Suicide. So she's definitely going to hell. I mean, maybe she's not a Catholic.
It was an accidental suicide while attempting a murder. So I think she might be all right.
I would love it if she was like in Defending Your Life and she had to explain this to the court.
What happened?
Oh, we got this file all wrong.
There was treasure. Look, I was trying to get the treasure. What a Jew, you fucking angel piece of shit.
Immediately sent down.
Just have some pasta.
Calm down.
That's all.
So then in bursts the trio of annoyance, and now ghost Bill Pullman that looks exactly like a cartoon Bill Pullman, but just painted white. It's ridiculous. He's got hair, he's got glasses.
And it seems like he's going to be drunk forever.
And he's already...
Yeah, he's totally fucked up.
He's forgotten his daughter.
He forgot his daughter. He's just looping around the room singing, Cat Baloo. He keeps on making some rhyme about Cat Baloo.
And then she's like, hey, Dad, by the way, the last time I saw you, you were totally not dead. And he's like, what? Who's dead? Daddy-o? And she's like, no, you fucking idiot. You are my father. And he like slowly remembers. And like in the greatest like alcoholic's regret, he's just like, oh, what have I done? What have I done?
I knew I accidentally fell down that hole.
But thank God we have this 100-year-old Deus Ex Machina smacking us in the face. Because he just goes inside this thing and Casper's like, well, my one chance to be reborn and fuck your daughter screwed up. So get in and you can... Because there's only one vial of the potion left, by the way, of course. So this machine works. In he comes out. Bill Pullman again. Here's my question. He goes in as ghost Bill Pullman and comes out person Bill Pullman. What's with that body that's down at the end of the street cliff? Are there now two Bill Pullmans? Because if so, new Bill Pullman should not attend old Bill Pullman's funeral because he might time cop himself.
Maybe it becomes a soulless zombie
and
then joins Casper's army of darkness.
Well, they smartly set up two deaths where more than likely you're not going to find the body anyway. The one is a hole to the what I assume to be the core of the very earth. The other one is fucking falling into the sea.
Maine Municipal Project digging to China.
Oh, you might be critical, but it created a whole lot of jobs. Sure was a fool's errand, though. Forgot about that hot core.
Oh, I'm just lying. I'm just doing it to fool that fucking Casper again.
So he's just alive, and you're like... All right, here's a question I have. So there's only one vial left, right? But we've seen multiple other vials. Clearly this machine works because Christina Ricci and Casper figure out how to do it, no problem. Mm-hmm. So presumably the guy who invented the fucking thing knows how to use it and knows that it works. We have two empty vials. Who did he resurrect before resurrecting the person that he made the invention for in the first place? Who did he bring back? It might be Hitler.
Maybe himself?
How's a ghost inventing a machine, though?
No, but like he invents it and then he kills himself, becomes
a
ghost.
To test it.
Yeah.
And then he's like, yep, works. Well, I am out of here.
Yeah, did he accidentally say he didn't have any more unfinished business? And he was like, no, wait, I didn't mean it. Oh, fuck!
Now that my project is complete.
No, yeah, he said, he's like, now I can save my son. It's all over. Wait, I didn't say that. No.
God's just like, well, you said it. No going back now.
Oh, wait a minute, God's from Maine?
Yeah, why not? Oh. What's that? Casper's father created an invention to bring back the dead, eh? Down to hell with you. It's Casper's father's pulled to
Speaking
hell.
Speaking of this potion, there are books everywhere. Try reading one. There might be the ingredients. Or also, analyze this goddamn potion.
There's got to be a chemistry professor in this fucking town. Somebody bring the goddamn thing there.
You could be a ghost for a week, Pullman.
Yep. Figure it out. Do a little research. You're a big doctor. Come on.
By the way, you're this asshole who's had, like, he's, okay, like, it's not been a great life because his fucking wife died and everything like that. I get that. And he's obviously insane because he's doing this with his life. But you just come in and, like, Casper, who's been fucking stuck in this house, presumably for like 200, 300, 400 years or some fucking garbage.
I don't think it's 400 years.
Maybe not. Okay, sorry. I went a little far. 300 years.
There's
then.
No.
I know. It's only a couple of years.
It's maybe like 70 to 80 years.
Still.
Okay.
He's like, okay, yeah, you can go. Because he loves Christina Ricci. So he's like, yeah, fine. Your shithead father can take this life that I've been dreaming about for years now.
Yeah, your dad who just got carelessly fucking drunk with my uncles
with
and killed
ghosts.
Himself.
A drunk con artist who's been fleecing the country.
Fleecing hard copy, which is just the same as fleecing all of America, as we discussed. This guy gets to hop in this machine before the little kid who had to die because he was having a great time.
Who's been fucking making breakfast for you every morning? So, fuck you, Pullman.
Bill Pullman's alive. Casper's dead. And what's that up there? Oh, the party's starting. I can hear Digital Underground. So, and then Casper has this shit-eating line, man. Oh, my God. Your date is probably waiting.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Why don't you go? You know what? Now that I'm still dead forever? No. Why don't you go on your date?
Your date's upstairs, you fucking horrible person.
I bet he doesn't feel cold when he touches you, bitch.
It is. You might as well.
He's so disgusted. It's great. Also, by the way, this pushy-ass middle school classroom, they broke into this house, like, set up a stereo system.
By the way, remember, it's only that class that shows up. It's not the entire school.
I think that teacher's doing some weird shit with these kids.
I think,
come on, kids, we're going to go out to the haunted house
and
on the cliff.
Casper comes up to the party and is like, that's the man that murdered me.
I remember now. Oh, that would be a great
I
twist.
I remember
now,
what he did to me, and he put me in that trunk.
Now, Kat, let me ask you, but before we throw this party at this Whipstaff Manor, let me ask, you got working locks on all these doors? Good.
Oh,
that's real good. That's what I wanted to hear.
What about this iron gate? Does that close or what? Like, oh, it does? Good.
Could you do me a favor? Get one of your classmates here to run outside the gate, and you scream in the house, and tell me if he can hear you, because that's what I'm wondering.
Oh, he couldn't, huh?
Perfect. Well, then we're ready to go. You know what? Jinx and chips on me.
Party on, kids. Here's some punch I brought. Said the child murderer.
Christina Ricci's mother shows up as an angel ghost.
Amy Brenneman, god damn it. You were in Heat the same year.
Yes, and her first stop is to Casper to basically tell him to back the fuck up.
You know what, Casper? Sometimes shit just doesn't work out.
Yeah.
You're dead. She's not. Stay away from my daughter because she knows Amy Brenneman, the angel, knows just what the dead are capable of. She doesn't want that shit anywhere near her teenage daughter.
But here's the thing. Amy Brenneman is dressed in red. So I think she's in hell.
She's the trickster devil.
I think she's in hell.
Wait, is this? Oh, man. The whole game was rigged. People who are good go to hell. People who are shitty go to heaven.
Did not see that twist coming, Casper the movie. So she's like, listen, Casper, I'm Kat's mom and I'm an angel, in case you were wondering. And you did a really great thing back there, letting my shit-eating husband cut in line to the Lazarus machine and bring his drunk ass back to life. And, you know, you sacrificed your turn. That's really noble. So I'm going to grant you this random amount of time to be a human being tonight. You get till 10 p.m. to be a real boy again. And he's like, but it's 9:40. And she's like, 10 o'clock. And he's like, but Cinderella got till midnight. And she's like, don't push it. So then we don't see the morphing process here, which is obnoxious. We just get the reveal. And it's this boy dressed like Huck Finn at the top of the stairs.
Cut to him spending the entire time in his room masturbating.
It's back! It's back! It's back!
I never got to try it out all the way. I
keep hearing those filthy uncles talking about it.
So he ends up dancing with Christina Ricci, but while that is happening, she visits Bill Pullman.
Oh yeah.
And she
straight
has
his ass out.
Some words for him. And I wrote down basically saying what a terrible father he is. And one of the things she advises Bill Pullman to stop doing is to stop feeding Christina Ricci French fries for breakfast. Listen, I've been watching, and this French fry for breakfast thing you've started.
Yeah, you got to knock that shit off.
Yeah, if that's happening, I need to see it, man. I'm sorry.
You want to see the French fry breakfast?
If that's one of your lines, dude. I just watched her eat the fucking fast food like donut and cake and candy breakfast.
Well, what? Casper makes them an actual breakfast though. It's like a stack of flapjacks. Oh, you're right. Eggs and shit.
Well balanced meal. It's a perfect way to start your
but
day.
But no, you're right, though. We have no real understanding that he, aside from going out and leaving his daughter home alone and getting fucked up and killing himself accidentally, that he's like a bad dad. Like, he seems like a caring enough guy.
He's a bad dad because he drags her all around the country.
Oh, well, yeah.
She keeps on saying, why can't I be normal? Why can't I be normal? Can I just go to school like once?
No, we're going ghost hunting. No, we're going to be on hard copy, God damn it. Do you know what hard copy can do for my bogus job?
Well, that's just
the only case you got to the bottom of was a bottle.
Yeah, I mean, after this, I would have thought the lonely and the insane in America, I thought would be flooding his phone messages. I thought he would really, other than, Moriarty wants the money and the treasure,
right.
But like, his business should be really skyrocketing now, if ever it was going to. Right after that hard copy store, it should be skyrocketing.
Well, it's not really made clear how she makes contact with him, but I would wager like he doesn't have a working phone in whatever flop house they're living in. That's just what I'd put out there. So down the stairs, while this conversation is going on upstairs, comes teen heartthrob Devon Sawa, Canada's Devon Sawa, and he comes down, and they start dancing. And even though he's a boy, he still has ghost powers, because they're dancing around, and he, like, makes them levitate, like, a few feet off the ground. And
it's,
like,
well, maybe it's just so magical, you know?
Oh, like, that wasn't even Casper's doing. That was just the universe saying, like, you know, this is so right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, ghost this was meant to be.
It's the ghost of love doing that.
The love specter made its way to the Halloween
dance. Oh, man, that's creepy. Can you imagine that?
Also creepy, speaking of creeps, that teacher that we keep making fun of goes to the party dressed as a lobster. Do you think there's a lot of him going up to these, like, 14-year-old kids, like, pinch, pinch. Hey, I'm a Halloween lobster. Do you have a pinch for your Halloween lobster? Pinch, pinch.
Hey, I'm a lobster. Want to suck something out of my tail?
Yeah. Oh, my God. That is a whole new level of lobster jokes.
That's just butter sauce. It's okay. Oh, no, yeah. Put your biscuit in it.
Yeah. Oh, man, they got fucked up teachers in Maine.
Let's just wallow in it for a minute here.
Oh, God. I need to take a shower after that joke. So then, like, the clock strikes 10, and he's like, well, that was a fun 15 minutes. And turns, like, they kiss as the clock's striking. So Casper gets his first kiss. And then he turns back into the ghost, and all the kids are like, it's a ghost! And they run out of the house, and, like, the teacher's running after him, like, get back here! I gotta pinch you! And they all just clear out. And then, like, in the biggest, like, ending of non-endings, like, Christina Ricci's like, huh, well, guess the party's over, or we know how to clear a room, party's over. And Bill Pullman's just like, not yet, it's not. And the fucking three ghosts just start singing a song. It's the Casper theme song. And it's like he's sort of doing like a Little Richard impression.
Yeah.
One of the ghosts is. And they just start singing Casper the Friendly Ghost credits. And I'm like, why would these three ghosts who spend the movie doing nothing but hating Casper's guts sing a theme song that they have no knowledge of its existence? Well, whatever. The credits are on. Who cares?
I would have much preferred a Beetlejuice ending where she floats up and starts fucking, you know, singing and dancing and mamboing or whatever the fuck.
You know what? I would have liked sandworms to get a lot of them. Every single character.
Sandworms just take the whole house.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
Oh, the house was on Saturn.
Bill Pullman... Bill Pullman dancing to Harry Belafonte. I want it.
It would be great. But a movie like this needs like a week later or like a month later. Like, you know, here's how we've adapted Living with the Ghosts without fear of Kathy Moriarty reprisal or something.
Yeah. By the way, Christina, fucking thank God he has some kind of knowledge of psychiatry, because his daughter just made out with a ghost. Like, she has romantic feelings for a ghost.
Do you think it's awkward? Like, that's why they had to end the movie, because now it's awkward between her and Casper.
It's got to be super awkward. I can't imagine. Like,
Dad, can we hit the road again? I know I said I wanted to settle down.
You got to move. You absolutely have to move.
But although, he's going to follow you for the rest of your life.
That's the thing.
Yeah, you're stuck.
You know what, Richie? You really fucked yourself with this one.
You're totally
she's
stuck.
In like 20 years, she's married with kids. Casper's just sitting in her bedroom every fucking night.
That's a cat woman. That is a cat lady if I ever heard one.
Bill Pullman dies off, becomes cartoon ghost Bill Pullman again.
Yep. And he has to fend off Casper from like the entitying his daughter.
I told you to keep away, little ghost pervert. Can you imagine just for all eternity, you're just stuck with this little kid? That's obnoxious. I would be like, all right, if you're going to grow up with me, you have to start like reading the same things I do and watching the same things I do, so we can like kind of make you grow up mentally. Because I can't sit around 45-year-old lady, you know, playing with your toy set and sledding in the backyard.
Well, that's what's, I mean, remember, think about it. Like, that's about as close as he's going to get to something like losing your virginity. So if you want to talk about like a fucking attachment.
Oh, yeah. No, it's forever.
Forever. You are with him forever.
And she better hope that when death comes for her, all her business is sealed up tight.
I don't think so. She was once romantically involved with this ghost. I feel like that's going to get you.
That's like the automatic unfinished business?
I think so. Like, yeah, I mean, you got to settle this.
God, then it's just like...
I guess they have
the
both.
Afterlife together? You're stuck with this obnoxious little
fucked
baby?
Fucked herself right... like. For that one kiss with Devon Sawa, which she already did in Now and Then, she has fucked her entire life and afterlife.
You hear that, kids? Don't kiss no ghosts.
You better not be kissing no ghosts, goddammit. Stay away from those lock and lip ghosts.
There's a lot of fights between Casper and Pullman Ghost.
Oh, yeah, probably. There's a lot of, like, you think you know me. I'm way older than you are, technically.
He's calling him his father-in-law. And he's like, don't you call me that!
I'm not your father-in-law, goddammit!
Although, there is a chance that Bill Pullman's ghost would get trapped on the Lost Highway. And then he can't do anything.
Man, I would love it if Casper runs into a... Robert Blake's character from that movie.
Oh yeah, Casper's body was dumped off of I-95, which connects to the Lost Highway. There's like a creepy fork in the road, and that's where all this takes place.
I mean, frankly, you know, Bill Pullman as ghost psychiatrist or experimental saxophonist, about the same difference, really, to me.
President, ghost psychiatrist, experimental saxophonist, whatever.
Yeah, that's about right.
Lone Star.
Would anybody recommend the live action Casper adaptation?
Absolutely not. I was dying throughout this. It was boring. The stuff with the three ghosts is intolerable in every
from
sense of the word.
From beginning to end.
And
did you like this in 95? Or
when
it
I
came
saw
out?
It, I remember like being like, okay, that movie happened, and like leaving. But you know, I didn't have any ill will towards it or anything like that. But now it's just I was done, and like there's a lot of like fake Burton stuff going on, like a lot of the design in the house. It also reminded me of the house in Mouse Hunt.
Yeah, it's kind of similar.
It's a similar thing, and those are, you know, Burton. I would take almost any Burton movie over this, and I would definitely take Mouse Hunt over this.
Oh, Mouse Hunt's a great movie.
Yeah, I love Mouse Hunt.
I would say never watch this movie. This is the worst movie ever. I saw this in the theater as a kid, and I was like, nope, not having it. And
see,
I maintain that today.
You are better for it. I saw this movie in the theater day it came out, and we had it on home video. I have seen this movie, I'm not even shitting you, like 25, possibly 30 times. It was just one of those tapes that got rotation in our house. Like, I had younger siblings. We just had it on all the time. And I was terrified
watching it today for the first time in well over like 10, maybe even 15 years, watching this movie, and I was anticipating the lines as the actors were delivering them, and I was like, my God, the space in this noodle with useless shit like that. It's disgusting.
The boy's got the shittin'.
Yeah, that is what happens when you just absorb dialogue from crappy movies. It's the shitting ability.
It's not The Shining. It's the shitting.
Needless to say, I would not recommend it either. It's intolerable. The fucking closet case joke, you know, these cameos, everything about this movie is so wrongheaded, from its like treatment of, you know, how you can explain death to kids. That fucking Lazarus machine is like the biggest cock tease of like, oh, so my dad died of fucking skin cancer. You're saying that I can put him in this box and he'll come back? Bill Pullman did it. Like, it's just, it's so bad. It's like, it almost makes Ghost Dad look like a good movie in that regard, because like Ghost Dad kind of plays with like, oh, maybe you could come back to life too, but it's the weird, like, the daughter like dies and she's like, I love being a ghost, and like Bill Cosby's just like, that's a bad idea. You shouldn't be dead. I'm dead, but I hate it. Yeah. Like, you know, this movie's like, being dead's fantastic. And not in like a fun Beetlejuice way. No. In a like, hey, kids, dead can be funny too. We eat donuts and chocolate and fly around and do.
Being dead's great, everybody.
Yeah, it's so fucking wrongheaded.
But like, it's really, it's by the seat of your pants about death. Like, other than Devon Sawa, which, I mean, it is like a heart stopping scene, because he's like, and then I got cold. Then I got colder, and I was in a sick bed. And it just goes on with this like detailed conversation about how he slipped into the never.
And she says to the never, she's like, what's it like to die? And he's like, it's kind of like being born, but backwards. And I'm like, that's not even an answer to anything.
I'd give it about a B.
I'd give it a D for death. That's Casper from 1995, directed by a fella named Brad Silberling. Be sure to catch up on our on-screen that we're about to record right now on the first of four direct-to-DVD Casper sequels.
Right now, yeah, we're going to start doing a little mini-episode on the movie that was made right after this, Casper, A Spirited Beginning, which is a prequel.
Yes.
So, WHMPodcast.com, go to the FAQ page to find out how to get the app.
You can either get it on the app or whmpodcast.bandcamp.com. If you want more information about this show, including the back catalog, like Eric said, whmpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook. Find us on Twitter. We are at whmpodcast. Right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Wrongheaded Halloween films from your childhood. We want to hear about it. What else? Grab us on Stitcher. If that's how you stream your podcast, the Stitcher Radio app is for you. Stream the most recent five episodes of the show on the go. If you subscribe in iTunes, please give us a little rate and review there. We'd greatly appreciate it. And in our continuing mission that I think we should now just keep throwing out for every episode, tell some folks about the show. Spread the good word about We Hate Movies. You like it. Chances are other people will too. That is it for our Halloween Spooktacular 2013. We will roll on next week with some non-horror related films. It's been a successful spooktacular, I feel.
Give it about a B.
Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Eric Siska.
Chris Gavin.
Take it easy.
You think you got it tough? I got a facelift. There was one just like it underneath.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.